Welcome back. This is Carpool Conversations. I'm Mark.
And I'm Jim.
And if we sound a lot better to you, it's because we've done some investing in some hardware. We've bought these wonderful Plantronics Bluetooth noise canceling 3-microphone lightweight. We don't look like assholes going down the road with giant headphones on our. They seem to be a lot better. We hope that you enjoy these. And when I say invest, that means I basically blackmailed our vendors into giving us free shit. So, hey, you know, take advantage of anything you can. So, Jim, how you been?
Busy. Real busy.
Really? Tell me about that.
You know, life's a funny thing. Throws shit at you all the time until you say mercy.
and it has none.
And it has none.
It has no mercy whatsoever. Mercy. That's what I wanted to hear you scream. It's been crazy. These podcasts may come infrequently, but we're gonna do the best we can. Sometimes we have to, you know, change things out and we can't be where we want to be, but you know, here we are. So I'm bringing up a couple stories here. I call them, these are on the blog, conservativeyoda.blogspot.com, and I call them Blind Squirrel Finds a Nut. And what's interesting about them is that there are three of them, three stories. You familiar with the Daily Beast?
Yes.
Okay. Left ring. Very left wing ring.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Or ring. Whichever one. Right. It's early in the morning, folks, so if the lips seem rented, it is what it is. The Daily Beast admits that maybe probably kind of, sort of, being against the government isn't really racist. I mean, of course Republicans are racist. That goes without saying.
That's a given.
But we're going to say it ad nauseum anyway.
Right, yeah.
But this particular opinion of big government may not totally, completely, 100% be racist per se.
Wow, that's a huge admission from the Daily Beast.
I thought so. So, you know, I mean, first they have the obligatory history of the Republicans and how they're always associated with racism, and they go into Barry Goldwater's shellacking and you know, his stuff about the Civil Rights Act and things like that.
So I'm curious, can all sins be absolved if you just join the Democratic Party?
Well, of course.
Oh, okay.
All of right. course. That's interesting you should say that. And I will play these sound bites, but Harry Reid is, of course, all over the Koch brothers.
Right.
But he's fine with Sheldon Adelson.
The report that I'm referring to here concluded there are disastrous climate changes taking place on our Earth due to human activity. While the Koch brothers admit to not being experts on the matter, these billionaire oil tycoons are certainly experts contributing to climate change. That's what they do very well. They are one of the main causes of this. Not a cause, one of the main causes. These are the two richest people in the world. And they are in it to make money. That's their whole goal here, is to add zeros to their billions. And I don't think that's the case with any of the...
You don't think that's the case with Adelson, for instance? He spent $100 million.
I know
you should know more.
I know Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah.
He's not in this for money. He's not in this to make money. He's in it because he has certain ideological views. Now, Sheldon Adelson, social views are in keeping with the Democrats on choice, on all kinds of things. So Sheldon Adelson, don't pick on him. He's not in it to make money.
All right, yeah.
Because he's given to good Democrat causes.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Harry Reid himself.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yes, join the Democrat Party and suddenly all will be forgiven. If you don't join the Democrat Party, we will ruin you personally, financially, whatever we can do. So here's what the Daily Beast says. Now they got the whole, look, Republicans are racist. You know that. We know that. Blah, 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 blah. They're really kind of going saying, but libertarians, maybe not so racist. The fixations of the small L libertarians include ending the drug war, mandatory minimum sentence, and other prison reforms, and pushing a maximalist version of school choice, all of which would directly benefit minorities more than non-minorities. Holy shit. Did they just say school choice would benefit black people?
That's amazing.
I believe that's something we've been saying for, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
Libertarian public interest law firms such as the Institute for Justice spend much of their time fighting occupational licensing laws that disproportionately stymie inner-city entrepreneurs who have little to no political or economic capital. IJ's first case, dating back to 1991, attacked Washington, D.C.'s absurd laws against African hair braiding without expensive and irrelevant cosmetology licenses. Well, that's very much what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Stifling regulations. And apparently, getting rid of stifling regulations may not be racist.
It may actually benefit folks that are in a urban environment, which tend to be a higher percentage of minorities, which also tend to be in the lower middle class or the lower class economically. And yeah, it's exactly what we've been saying, is that oppressive government regulations tend to hold people in those situations because it doesn't allow them the freedom to pursue happiness.
Well, and here's my point.
I wonder where I've heard that term before.
Some assholes wrote it back in the late 1700s.
You know, I bet they were racist.
Well, they had slaves. You know that, right? So that renders everything they did, you know, moot. We don't care about time and place and context and history. All that crap.
And the fact that not all of them own slaves.
Mm. And some were viciously against it. So.
But we digress.
We love to digress. I think it's our favorite pastime. So if you push for less government, you may actually benefit minorities. That's their conclusion. Or that's part of their conclusion, right, at least in this paragraph.
Right, yeah.
And I've linked to the article on the site, so check it out. Well, yeah, of course it benefits minorities because it benefits all
everybody.
People.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The laws and the things that we are pushing, less government, less taxes, is not a white law. It's a human law. It's an everybody law. It's a numbers law, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Numbers don't give a shit about race, I don't think. So that's story one. Now story two. A blind squirrel finds a nut. Bill Maher defends free speech. Bill Maher?
He's kind of a bully.
Leftist, yeah. Who's out there, you know, going after Christians and everything else. But he seems to favor free speech. And let me play you the clip. And You can listen to that, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Now that Americans are getting wise to the dangers of being spied on by the government, they have to start getting more alarmed about spying on each other. Because if the Donald Sterling mess proved anything, it's that there's a force out there just as powerful as Big Brother, Big Girlfriend. Now, last week when President Obama was asked about the Sterling episode, he said, "When ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, just let them talk." But Sterling didn't advertise. He was bugged. And while he may not be worth defending, the Fourth Amendment is. That's the one that says we have the right to be secure in our person, in our homes, in our property. Well, not if bitching to your girlfriend in your home loses you your property. In an op-ed in the Washington Post, Kathleen Parker offered one way of dealing with the modern world's ubiquitous invasions of privacy. Give up. She wrote, "If you don't want your words broadcast in the public square, don't say them." Really? Even at home? We have to talk like a White House press spokesman? She then looked on the bright side by saying, "Such potential exposure forces us to more carefully select our words and edit our thoughts." always editing, I'd rather be a Mormon. And that's what we'd all be. Mitt Romney. I would listen to 100 horrific Cliven Bundy rants if that was the price of living in a world where I could also hear interesting and funny people talk without a filter. Perhaps most chilling of all, Parker said that speaking one's mind isn't really all it's cracked up to be. Which is quite a statement, since her job is speaking her mind. So let me get this straight. We should concede that there's no such thing anymore as a private conversation, so therefore remember to lawyer everything you say before you say it. And hey, speaking your mind was overrated anyway, so you won't miss it. Well, I'll miss it. I'll miss it a lot. And for the record, speaking my mind is absolutely everything it's cracked up to be. Private eyes, they're watching you.
That's brilliant. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you know, I don't like him.
No, and I don't either. But here's the thing. And maybe it's the danger of Mr. Maher. He's a very intelligent guy, and he does at times stand on some very important principles. And then the rest of the time, he uses it to be, you know, for personal attacks and creating straw mans and tearing those down and it just being a general douchebag.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah,
general,
I mean,
douchebag.
Yeah.
So
he got promoted.
He got promoted from major douchebag to general douchebag.
Yes. Yeah. So. A very well articulated sentiment regarding free speech and the ability of, and I think it should be something that, regardless of where you're at politically or theologically, that's something we should, as Americans, all be able to center around. I mean, you gotta be able to have the thoughts and express the things that you express. Now, the rest of us are going to be able to look at you and go, yeah, that's stupid. You're an idiot. As I'm sure people are saying about us right now. But the fundamental...
Yes, our legions of fans.
Yeah. The fundamental thought that, hey, this is a society where you are free to say and think the things that you believe or that are you. Now, we do have the structure to say, hey, you can't do and act on things that hurt other people. So when Sterling, who is a huge, I mean, he's a four-star general asshole.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I...
That, you know, the fact that he might say stupid things about, you know, I don't like these people, you know, using the these people type speech, we can look at him and go, a dinosaur from an era that has long been evolved, and we can hear him say those things and give him the rope to say those things and give him the latitude. But you know, when he does things like, oh, you know, no, you can't live in my properties that I rent because of the color of your skin, yeah, I think most people are gonna say, yeah, well, let's take him to court.
But it was a method of how that stuff. He wasn't speaking at a public forum.
Right.
He was talking to his girlfriend.
Right. No, absolutely.
Teat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, I don't have it. Let me go through this just real quick here.
Sure.
He got taped by his girlfriend. It gets out to the media. She says she didn't leak it. The fact that she's willing to tape his ass to use it against him later tells me that she probably did. So he gets his stuff taken away. Now, do I blame the NBA for reacting the way they did? No. Once the genie was out of the bottle, they had to do something.
Yeah.
The public outcry was what it was.
Yeah.
They didn't do this. They didn't ask for this. But now that it's out there, they had to do something.
Well, they have, and they have a brand to protect.
They do.
And by the way, they're not a public corporation.
They are not. They're free to associate with who, and that freedom to associate is in the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
So they are free to associate with whom they wish. And so I'm okay with them reacting the way they did.
Yeah.
But I think, and I, you know, the fact that Bill Maher is talking about this and others are talking about this, that something happened with this where people were saying, wait a minute. Okay, the guy's a douchebag and an asshole. We get it. But he was taped and it was leaked and he was just in his house and he was saying stupid things. And in general, you look at his body of work and you go, is he all that racist? I don't know, maybe. I don't know. He probably doesn't believe he is. But now all of his stuff is taken away. And are we in East Germany? You got to worry about this political correctness thing. So let me ask you, you know, the left, as far as I can tell, is a bunch of teenagers. They're just is stuck in a state of teenagerism. Not children, teenagers. Why do I say teenagers?
I like where you're going with this.
Teenagers are rebellious, right? They will say stupid things. They will do things for shock value just because they're experimenting and that sort of thing.
And a lot of
anything to make their parents squirm, right?
And a lot of the perspective is based on emotion and not on logic.
It is, and it's also based on the fact that they have no real responsibility yet.
Correct.
So they get mom and daddy to pay for everything.
Yeah.
And their house and everything, but they act like general douchebags. Not all teenagers, but you know what I'm saying, the stereotypical thing. You grow out of that. But liberals, I don't think, ever grew out of that. They do things for shock value. I mean, they're. I believe that an entire leftist platform is entirely based on making the establishment, and especially Christians, squirm. Not Muslims, because those, that makes you look worldly and erudite and all that if you're, you know, thinking about other countries instead of your own, because thinking of your own is stupid.
Sure.
So they do that. They make artwork with poop all over religious symbols, Christian religious symbols.
Yeah.
Maybe Jewish ones too. Crucifix in the urine, poop on the Virgin Mary, things like that. Anything for shock value. They stick homosexuality into your face because they know it'll make you squirm. I almost feel like homosexuals are getting used now. It's like, when can I have the gay friend? Ellen Page came out recently and they were talking about how brave she was as they do this giant 6-page spread in, I think, Variety or one of the maybe Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
How awesome it is. It's like, Ellen, you're in Hollywood. You're coming out in Hollywood. You just made everybody's party list. Everybody now is going to want to be your friend because they could stick the gay friend onto their list.
Right.
You're not doing anything brave.
Right.
Nobody gives a shit anymore.
Yeah.
It's nothing brave. Oh, okay, maybe with your parents or something.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. There may be some personal stuff there. But, you know, you're an actress in Hollywood and an A-list actress. You got nothing to worry about. Nobody cares. Oh, a late-night comedian may make a joke. Good luck. I hope you're able to suffer through that.
Yeah.
So that's what leftism is. It's teenagers doing things for shock value. Oh, and by the way, they get mommy and daddy, the taxpayer, to pay for all their shit. National Endowment for the Arts. Right? Academia is pretty much propped up by most of our tax dollars so that they can spew anything they want.
Right. Right.
And so I come back to this Bill Maher thing and I'm like, okay, so something is cracking here. Like, how close are they to the moralizing religious people that they hate so much? They're branding people with the scarlet letter R instead of A.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you are now ostracized and shamed. What's the difference? That's the question I put. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Between the Salem stuff, the Scarlet A, and the Scarlet R.
Well, and I think the reaction maybe that you're seeing in folks like Bill Maher and some others is the recognition that, hey, wait, we all enjoy the freedom of speaking in our own safe zones and doing and acting in our safe zones where we believe that we are free from the rest of the world to be ourselves. And do we edit and do we check ourselves?
What's the safe zone?
Well,
what should be the safe zone?
You know,
I mean, to me, it's the United States of America. Sure. That should be the safe zone. Yeah. Not my bathroom.
Yeah. I think people can define that however they want. I think there's probably there's some common sense involved there. If you're out in public and you start spouting off some really stupid things, offensive things, don't be shocked when there are consequences to that. If I'm going around spouting off
private sector consequences, that's called freedom of association. Yeah. If I'm working for, they are under no obligation to pay me to spout off. I get all that.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between public censorship and private censorship, and people don't know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And the NBA was put into a situation where they had to do what they had to do.
Right.
Okay. But the method that it all came about felt icky.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the epiphany that maybe Bill's having is, wait a minute, we all, in maybe in some ways, we all are a Sterling.
Yeah, we all think stupid things. We all make dumb. You know, I mean, it goes as well. Maybe a comedian will make a joke you don't like.
Right.
You know. A comedian, say, like Bill Maher.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And you gotta make sure that these things are protected.
Right, right.
And it's nice to see a liberal saying, oh, yeah, instead of bowing down to this idea of political correctness all the time, saying that we have to be careful about everything we say, and realizing that we've gone to the point that, you know, it's like Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
In the end of Body Snatchers, pointing at people, right. You know, that's what it feels like.
Right, yeah.
And it's something that we've been trying to guard against for so long, and yet I guess it's a constant fight. McCarthyism, you know.
Right.
The blacks couldn't talk during the Civil Rights era, but prior to the Civil Rights era, there was probably some of that. And now it's, you know, it's the other way around. The pendulum swings the other way. Constantly got to fight against, no, people can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I always think this because it's like, how are you going to identify the assholes out there?
Right.
You want them to expose themselves.
Yeah.
You don't want to shut down this stuff down. It makes it, oh, okay, now I know. This guy, I've got it. Thank you. You're a douchebag.
Yeah.
Thank you for my education.
Well, that's what I think is vital about a free society like ours. It's, you know what, I tell my kids this all the time, be yourself, be true to who you are, and if everyone did that, then you know what, the like-minded people will find each other and freedom of association, hang out with each other and create those safe zones where they can share ideas, and if they're open to other people's ideas, That's great. If they're not, well, be free to be as close-minded as you want. And that, I think, is the scary thing for me. I don't really – here's the thing. I'm not really – I don't like close-mindedness. Now, I do have my ideas and the things that I feel are comfortable.
We're conservatives. We're the epitome of close-mindedness. You know that. We hate everything.
Close-mindedness is, I know you're being sarcastic,
but
yeah, let me define close-mindedness.
Please.
Close-mindedness is not being open to all ideas. Close-mindedness is the inability to engage in the debate.
I think you're onto something there because I will say I've seen more, you know, I've seen these, Harry Reid, the Congressman Israel, they spout off stuff that's just god awful.
Yeah.
And they're invited to come on shows, they don't come on shows.
Yeah.
So O'Reilly sends out Waters. And he goes out, Jesse Waters, and he goes out there and he holds the congressman. He says, you said all this, and the guy won't talk to him or kind of talks to him but then denies it.
Yeah.
And they don't like being put on the spot. They like throwing bombs and running away. And I got no respect for that kind of thing.
Right.
You get on the... Say what you will about Barney Frank, who is a douchebag. I'll grant you, he is a douchebag. But tell you what, he would come on the O'Reilly Show, let O'Reilly yell at him, and engage in the debate. I disagreed with him vehemently, but I at least had that modicum of respect for him.
Sure.
You came on the show and you engaged in the debate. Nancy Pelosi is a cowardly, disgusting douchebag who should not even be allowed to run a Starbucks, let alone be the Speaker of the House or the minority leader. Because she's a coward.
Right.
And I can't be more blunt than that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, let me move on to Blind Squirrel Part 3.
Okay.
The New York Times. The New York Times?
What?
Yeah. Sees Obamacare might be causing less choice.
Oh,
welcome to the party, pal.
Chickens have come home.
So, I'll quote. In the middle of all the turmoil, this is, by the way, sorry to interrupt my quote, but this is the opening paragraph of the New York Times story. In the middle of all the turmoil in healthcare these days, one thing is becoming clear. No matter what kind of health plan consumers choose, they will find fewer doctors and hospitals in their network or pay much more for the privilege of going to any provider they want. Now, we could go over Obamacare ad nauseum, but what amazes me is these stories are piling up. When I see three in a row, and this is all within a week, the cracks are beginning to show, don't you think?
Yeah.
So you finally got, I mean, the reality of Obamacare, the hilariously named Affordable Care Act, there's, you know, you use that word, I do not think it means what you think it means.
The funny thing about most legislation is the consequences of the legislation tend to be the opposite of what they're named.
They're always named, you know, really nice names. Like, for instance, the progressive think tank. There's no thinking in there. There's nothing progressive about it. And it's not a tank. That's the most disappointing thing to me. I would love to see him in a tank doing all this stuff and firing off rockets every once in a while. So, Obamacare, we know that reality. The political correctness shutting down free speech is really starting to get to people. You know, the idea of that criticizing liberalism can be just answered with racist.
Yeah.
Is starting to ring really hollow.
Right.
Is this the beginning of the end, Jim?
I certainly,
end of this fad.
Yeah.
Because it always swings back up.
Right. So, and maybe that was where my thought was just ready to go is, I think the pendulum is starting to swing. And everything in politics and it tends to be cyclical. So, maybe this huge barrage of the throwing the right wing under the bus because of, if I get my thought out.
Take your time.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, so
you got a long ways to go in this car, right?
So backing up, yes. The idea, and we'll edit all that out, because here's the real idea.
Oh, he thinks I'm going to edit all this out. Shh, don't tell him.
So the national sport of taking Republicans or the right wing and saying, oh, you know what? You're saying that not because that's the ideology that you have. It's because deep down, the underlying subtext is that you're racist and somehow what you're saying and what you're believing will be detrimental to pick a liberal group, minorities, women, homosexuals, and they use that as a bludgeon to spin and get their side of the debate on top.
Well, I'll wrap it up with this story. Touré if you know who Touré is, he's a commentator on MSNBC. I just told you all you needed to know.
I'm not familiar with his work, but you've given me everything I need to know.
So he's a black man, and he had on Martin Luther King's the third. So I guess his son. I believe it was his son. He had him on along with the panel, mm-hmm. and the guy, the grandson is saying, or the son is saying, look, we've got to interact with, you know, I would like more blacks to be Republicans, or they should be.
You know, I don't think that we're not a monolithic people. So while I happen to be a Democrat, I think it's important for African Americans to be Republicans. I think it's important for African Americans to be independent. I'll say this kind of, I also think it's important to be engaged with the Tea Party.
It should not be, we're not all monolithic, and we should interact with the Tea Party. And Touré's face, it was the incredulity. He's like, why do we have to interact with them?
I also think it's important to be engaged with the Tea Party.
What? Why would it be important for us to be engaged with the Tea Party?
Because the only way you can change, is you have to be at least communicating. If there's no communication, you just let someone have an agenda. I mean, my dad would go, and there were people who were meeting with whites who were against our being here, as you know.
We're not all monolithic, and we should interact with the Tea Party. And Touré's face, it was the incredulity. He's like, why do we have to interact with them? It doesn't even occur to him that the Tea Party is animated by anything other than racism. You want to talk about closed-minded thinking? There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what we're up against.
It's prejudice at the very root of the word,
mm-hmm.
prejudged.
So now to move on to the fun stuff.
Sure.
As we usually do about this time. Neither of us saw the same movie this weekend. I went and saw Neighbors. And, you know, it's hard. I can't make much interesting out of it because it was fine. It was kind of funny. Most of the good jokes were in the trailer. But it had a good story arc. And that's about all I got. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And since you didn't see it, we don't have a lot to talk about. So instead, I saw that. Well, it came from South Korea, but you know the American one's going to come on. The new Transformers Age of Extinction trailer. And I thought we'd get into just the general mayhem that we saw. You got Optimus Prime riding a robot dinosaur.
This is the greatest advance in modern physics since the splitting of the atom.
A rare metal, molecularly unstable.
It's what they're made of.
Bring it up! All the way!
You guys have never seen a truck like this before.
Dad, you can't keep spending money on junk.
I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a transformer.
Dad!
I'm gonna ask you this once. Where is Optimus Prime?
After all we have done, humans are hunting us. But I fear we are all targets now.
What is that?
Who sent you here? This is not war. It's human extinction. Sacrificed.
Gotta have faith, Prime.
Maybe not in who we are.
And who we can be.
I'm not leaving my dad.
a new army.
You got Optimus Prime riding a robot dinosaur. Who breathes fire?
Sure. Yeah, I can see Michael Bay sitting in his safe zone, pleasuring himself over the thought of, as he's playing with the actual Transformer toys.
Talk about eternal teenager.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm watching this thing going, it's just a cacophony of images and I'm looking through the talkback and there's some people going, it looks good. It does? How does this look good? Especially if you've gone through the history of the Transformers movies.
And the history of Michael Bay movies.
Oh my gosh. We talked about this. The Revenge. Oh, fuck. Did you see any of them?
I saw the first one.
You saw the first one?
Yeah. Okay.
They are a jumbled mess. I don't know which one was what, but I think it was the second one. I think. And
where John Turturro is the good guy?
Yeah. Well, I think he's the good guy in the second one too, but they put him in a wheelchair. The third one, was it the second one? I don't know. One of them, he drops trow, and we get a good look at his horrible ass and these tiny little pants. With the choices that they make in these movies, there's a scene with John Turturro in the second one where they put together the Constructicons. If you are a child of the 80s, as we are, if you remember the Constructicons, they were six construction vehicles. And one thing I liked about the original Transformers, they actually looked like what they were supposed to look like.
Right.
You know, if this is a cement mixer, this is a bulldozer, this is a backhoe, this is whatever. Now it's like, this is a robot that looks like now a crippled muscular dystrophy robot with wings and wheels. You know, there's no effort in it. Transform him, and it just looks like he's going, kill me. But back then, they put it's like, we're going to start with a Ferrari, and we're going to figure out how to make this Ferrari into a robot. So when you put it into the car, it looked like a Ferrari. It looked like a Corvette.
Yeah.
So the Constructicons, you'd put them all together, and they'd form one big robot called Devastator. And that's what they did in the second movie, or the third movie, or first movie. Does it matter?
No, I suppose not.
So two of the construction robots have hooks, cable arms, and then they have the giant wrecking ball at the end of it for a counterweight. And when the thing comes together, the two wrecking balls are clanking under his crotch. Like a set of balls. And I'm watching this. I told you, if you saw Star Trek IV, where Spock jumps into the whale tank, and the look on Kirk's face, where he's just holding his forehead, and he can't believe what he's seeing and that was my look on my face the whole time. I'm like, somebody put a pair of balls on a Transformer no reason at all.
So it must have been a eunuch, right? He's got balls, but no.
That's a good question. Is that the opposite of a eunuch, or do they cut the balls off of the eunuch, or do they castrate him?
I don't know.
I've not put a lot of effort into researching that subject.
It's actually a subject I've tried to avoid.
Go figure. So, I quit.
Maybe that's why he's devastated.
You didn't just say that. Oh, boy. And we've hit a new low. Third episode in, and we're digging. So
you gotta set the bar.
We gotta reset the bar, apparently. So, you know, it takes thousands hundreds of thousands of man hours to put just a couple of minutes of this big CGI creation on the screen.
Right.
You got caterers, you've got all these people that work on this thing. Producers, sound men, writers.
You got the
director of photography.
You got the director or the manager who's in charge of craft services. He's got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make the coffee so that some yahoo can go in and put balls on Devastator.
Put balls on Devastator. And nobody in this production went, do you think this is a good idea? No, nobody said that. It ends up on the screen. I'm looking at least $1 million in the form of robot nards right there on the screen. That was $1 million. Robot nards. Well, that was money well spent. So that the entire country could collectively go, what the fuck? What is happening? What am I watching here? So now the new one's going to come out. Does anybody think that this is going to be better?
No. There's at this point, I'm finding new ways to be amazed at how Michael Bay can underachieve.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the first one. I think due to, you know, is this going to work? Is this going to be popular? Is this going to be successful? He didn't quite have the budget and the free reign that he had in the subsequent ones.
Yeah, but if he had, he would have put nards on a robot in the first one.
Oh, Jesus. Well, he did engage in some mild racism with Jazz. You know, he's cool, he's hip, he's now,
he's
and
over.
Then he's dead.
Yeah.
He's the one who gets killed.
Right.
They killed the black robot for no reason at all. I guess so you'd feel something. And then you can kind of go, well, maybe that it just was for the story, that Jazz is a known character, and maybe there wasn't anything racist about it. And then you get to the second one where they have Mudflap and Garbage Head, or I don't remember what the hell their names were.
Right.
And they have gold teeth, and they speak clearly with an urban accent.
Yeah.
And they claim they can't read. And even I, you know, we've just talked about it, how we're tired of the racist label. But once in a while, you got to point at something and go, that's fucking racist.
Yeah, that's over the line, dude.
You've gone nuts. I didn't even care. I didn't even think that Jar Jar Binks was racist. I thought he was stupid.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was racist. But these things, it was clearly, I mean, a robot that can't read? They're computers.
Right.
How's that possible? That's not possible, is it?
It's not possible.
So, well, there are otherworldly life forms that happen to be made of metal, and they have brains just like us, and they could possibly not. Fuck off.
Yeah.
That was stupid. They can link into computers. They showed that happening. Fuck off. They don't do much reading. So I have no desire to see this new one, but my kids do, so I am probably going to suffer through this noise hell, this thing that will be... You don't watch a Michael Bay movie. It is shoved into your eyeballs.
Right,
it is eyeball rape.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yep.
A Michael, that's what it is. It's rape. It's eye rape. And ear rape. Ow, my earballs. So, Godzilla is opening up, though.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this.
I am looking forward to that. The early reviews are, monster is awesome, well done, looks great, you really enjoy it. Character's a little paper thin. Well, that was kind of the knock on Jurassic Park, and yet that thing is considered kind of a classic.
Right.
And I don't think the characters were all that bad in Jurassic Park.
They didn't have to be real deep because it's not a character study. I mean, we're talking about you want to create lovable, interesting characters that engage you. And most of the characters did that. And at some point, it's an action movie, right?
Well, here's the funny thing. I clearly remember when the original Jurassic Park movie came out that some of the reviews were, most of the reviews were basically the dinosaurs look awesome, the characters are thin and one-dimensional. Dinosaurs are more real than the characters. But, generally enjoyable ride, generally good.
Yeah.
But the knock on it was that the characters were thin. So fast forward 20 years later, and I hear that they want to reboot the thing. I think they're filming it now.
Really?
I don't know if it's a reboot or if it's a continue. I don't know. But they're basically talking about some of the initial reports were they're going to reboot the thing and whatever. Okay. So I'm looking through the talkbacks. Or maybe it was the story itself. It's like, well, if they're going to reboot it, the question was, are they going to bring back these iconic characters? I'm like,
Iconic?
They were not. The dinosaurs were iconic. Right. A moving buffet line is not iconic. It's like, they talk about overuse of the word.
My only request would be that you have Samuel L. Jackson in there.
Hold on to your butts. Yeah, you got to have it. You should have the Nick Fury patch on.
Right.
And they should cross it over with the Marvel Universe.
And that movie he did about snakes on a plane. I'm tired of these motherfucking dinosaurs.
On this motherfucking
island.
I'm tired of these motherfucking raptors on this motherfucking plane. I would pay to see that.
Yeah,
sadly enough.
That's why I would make that request.
So, last time we droned on for a good 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I added a bunch of stuff in there, which kicked it up to 55 minutes. So I think we'll end it a little earlier on this one.
Yeah.
But
give you some editing license.
Yes, I need that.
Right.
Because I also need to learn the word restraint. And I apologize if I let some of those things go on too long. Folks, we're learning here. And we're investing in microphones. We're doing what we need to do. Hopefully, we hope the audio quality is better on this one. Initial tests say that it was, so.
We don't give a shit about the content.
The content, fuck the content. We're all about the technical details. So, we're Star Trek nerds, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again real soon.